section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. A new champion is crowned at Destination X. The anonymous Raw General Manager has finally been revealed, and a WWE diva is no longer with the company. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. DirecTV loses TNA Impact. It has affected 20 million people on Thursday night. Were you upset about this, Aaron?
No, because I have Comcast.
I was, because I have DirecTV. So what I have to do? Do the next best thing and just go online and watch it.
You know, just to talk about this a little more in depth, the reason why this is so dumb, the whole thing, and I've read quite a bit about what's going on between the two companies, and I just got to say this much. Viacom here doesn't have a leg to stand on, because in effect, by doing so, there's not a whole lot of new content out there during the summer, and so it was pretty dumb, you know, timing on their part. But here's what's going to happen. Futurama, for example, is pretty big on Comedy Central. A lot of people who watch that are pretty tech savvy. They're going to just download those shows illegally. And so they're going to lose out on even more revenue because there's not going to be those extra people watching it and seeing the ads. So if I was a DirecTV user, and I'm not condoning this or suggesting you do it, but if I was, I might want to do that. And, you know, just like you were saying, you know, you have to watch Impact because we do the show. You have to watch the show. And so how are you going to watch it? Well, how else? You know, you would have to go online to watch it. And, you know, you may see the ads, you may not, but you're not giving them that revenue. And so that's why I think that this is so stupid and this needs to get fixed, because there's some really exciting stuff going on TNA, which we're going to get to in a little bit.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, like, especially on Thursday, I didn't have to hunt very far to find Impact. That was the best part. You basically had to type it into Google and you got there. There was lots of places that you could watch it. Most of them, for some reason, I saw ads from North Carolina, but that's beside the point. But the funny part about it is that there's only a couple things that I watch of those channels, one being Comedy Central, one being Spike TV. If I didn't have the other channels, the other 14 channels, I could care less, just as long as I had those two. But the thing is, if I can't watch them, I'm going to do what anyone else does. I'm going to find them somewhere, somehow. But 20 million subscribers, there's so much more behind the scenes. But the ironic thing is, by the time we release the show, it'll probably be fixed. Or not. So something weird actually happened. Karma tweeted something out saying that she is now part of the alumni for the WWE. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that mean she's done? Or is it? I mean, why? I mean, she never really wrestled.
And I was about ready to ask that question. To be an alumni, shouldn't you have had, I don't know, done something there, been in a match, let's say? Yeah, she was in the Royal Rumble, and I'm not going to take that away from her. But what else did she do? Was she in another match that I don't know about? Because I'm pretty sure she was only in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, she didn't come in any other matches. Besides, she would just come out and do a quick squash, you know, not like a Ryback squash, just come in there and beat up a diva. But I just don't see how she's an alumni. She didn't do anything. She was there. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if she's taking time off because of what happened to her, or if she got knocked up again, is what I'm guessing. And they're just not going to pay her.
That could have happened. I do know that TMZ picked up the story, and they also said that she is gone. You know, TMZ, you know, out of all places. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but obviously it's a pretty big deal. I wonder if she's going to go back to TNA. That's the biggest question.
I don't think she. I mean, there's going to be something more behind it. I'm just surprised whenever you hear about TMZ picking something up. It's funny because they have one guy on there that is a huge wrestling fan, and you know that he's the one to be like, "Come on, you know, let's push it." But yeah, that's pretty interesting. It's always awesome when you hear something on TMZ about wrestling. So.
Yeah, it's always kind of, I don't want to say questionable, but it's always surprising.
Yes, very surprising. So let's move on to WWE Raw. And this was Raw 998, of course. Sin Cara, he qualifies for the SmackDown Money in the Bank. Ladder match on Raw.
Oh, UK? Andy, you didn't know?
Apparently, I didn't know. I guess someone better call somebody.
Yeah, so, you know, it makes so much sense. And Andy, I hate to do this. I absolutely hate to do this. I have to go back to our story because something just broke right now in the middle of taping. Karma is no longer a WWE alumni.
What?
I'm not joking. Karma is now a WWE superstar.
You're kidding.
I'm not joking. What, at the time of this recording, she is now on the WWE.com superstars page. She was taken off the alumni page, which she was put on earlier today. Now she's back on there because they were saying that she's actually not supposed to be released until tomorrow.
What?
Yes. I'm not joking. You can't make this stuff up. So anyway, I to get back to what you were talking about on Raw, Sin Cara qualified for the SmackDown Money in the Bank on Raw since there is no longer a brand split. You know, they have to do this, right?
Correct.
Because obviously, who cares, you know, if, you know, there's a SmackDown and a Raw championship, you know, doesn't matter, right?
Correct. It turns out that they just want to have former champions on one and then, I guess, non-champions on the other?
Christian did hold the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, that's right. He did. So why
and so
is
Dolph Ziggler.
Wait, then why are they on that match? Why wouldn't they be on the other one?
Well, because it's only former WWE champions.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It makes so much sense, doesn't it? And the fact that there's only four people right now in the Raw Money in the Bank ladder match, and the SmackDown one has eight.
Oh, jeez.
So that's kind of what's going on in terms of that. The other thing that happened, too, that was huge, Andy, is that the anonymous Raw general manager actually came out, and it's Hornswoggle?
Which honestly doesn't make sense to me. That does not make sense. Why would you make it Hornswoggle? I know that the storyline was busted, but I thought it was going to be Michael Cole some way, somehow. But instead, they're like, yeah, we're going to make it so it's Hornswoggle. And you just kind of think that's really disappointing. I mean, to me, that's a big deal. It's just 100% disappointing that it's him. It would have been cooler if they brought, like, you know, like Billy Gunn in or something like that, or Road Dogg, having one of those guys be the announced Raw general manager. That would have been fun, but whatever.
Well, the biggest problem with this is that this storyline was going on last year, right? And they basically got rid of it out of nowhere. And they didn't say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, now we're going to have a different general manager. Honestly, what it should have been, and I understand the internet wrestling community is like, well, I told you that was going to happen, or we knew that was going to happen. That's so predictable. That's so stupid. But honestly, Triple H should have been the anonymous Raw general manager because it would have been very easy to do. You know, he then comes in as the general, as the COO, you know, and as the executive vice president of talent relations. And then you say, you know what, I was actually the anonymous Raw general manager. And you have this big reveal, you know, and it would have been smart to do, in my opinion. But, of course, they decide to make it into a joke angle. And honestly, it takes away a lot of the impact. Having Hornswoggle do it, not that funny, you know, not that funny.
I thought it was interesting. I did think it was interesting that they basically all of a sudden just had the podium out there and, you know, had that. I knew that they were going to reveal at that time. I just didn't realize it was going to be him. I'm sorry, dude. I'm actually kind of like stunned still about the whole Karma thing. Like, she's with the WWE. It's almost like we have Kazarian, you know, like heel face. One of those things. But yeah. Anyways, we need to talk about the whole AJ, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk thing. I don't get it. I think it's stupid now. It's got to the point where you're just like, huh? Like, she's crazy? And is she going to cause both those guys to lose and have Kane win the championship and then have someone come by and pin Kane right afterwards?
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, she is the special guest referee for the Punk and Daniel Bryan match at Money in the Bank. And so the question here is, what is really going on? Honestly, like they think that interjecting her makes the storyline a little more interesting. I hate to say it. I love Punk. I love Daniel Bryan. They are phenomenal talents, great wrestlers, and they deserve what they have. They absolutely do. However, with all of that said, I don't want to see them wrestle over and over and over and over again. This is turning into Kane Taker. Kane Taker didn't take – they didn't wrestle each other all the time. But because when they did it over and over and over again, it was like, oh, my God. They're wrestling now again. And it's only the sixth time. But because it happened so much, it was like, oh, God. And it's the same thing with this. They've wrestled so many times. And I like them. I really do. End this. You have to end this. And there's honestly, there's only one way you can end this, which is having Punk win. Because if Daniel Bryan wins, they're going to continue the feud even more. And that is so annoying. That is so annoying.
Or if they Kane wins, they'll continue.
Well, Kane's not in the match.
I thought it was a triple threat.
No, that was last pay-per-view. You see, that's the problem. You can't keep this stuff straight because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I feel like an idiot now. I could have sworn it was a triple threat match this entire time.
Kane,
and that she was going to be the special guest referee.
No, Kane is in the Money in the Bank, Andy.
Oh, that's right. See, I'm confused because I thought I was trying to figure out how is he going to wrestle twice in that night.
Problem with this feud is that it is so confusing to the normal person, you know, and obviously, you know, you are pretty confused by this as well. They need to fix this. They need to have a clear path for Punk after this feud is done, which is done on Sunday. If it's not done on Sunday, then you are ineffectively destroying both characters. They have to have a clear path for Punk, which is going to be John Cena. They have to have a clear path for Daniel Bryan, which I don't know who that's going to be. But they need to move him on to something a lot better, and that would build him up so that way he can eventually become a WWE champion.
Yeah, and just remember, just recently almost, you know, over a year ago, we forgot to mention it on last show, but CM Punk, it was the anniversary of CM Punk coming out on Raw and sitting down and talking.
Isn't it amazing how great Raw was? You know, WWE in general, how amazing it was last year. It was phenomenal
last year. And then you look at that and you're like, okay, he wasn't anywhere in the top five in the company. Maybe top 10. Definitely top 25. But he basically sat there and talked about how bad the company is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he showed this is how it's supposed to be done. He comes out. Everyone loves him. He's right next to John Cena. And he said it on Colt's podcast a couple podcasts ago. He said he's like, you know, number one, number two, respectively, Cena and then him. But it never was that way. But he made, for what he did, for what he did on Raw, that made him number two in the company. And arguably probably the best wrestler right now, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was very interesting. Go back, check. I checked it on YouTube. I listened to it like five times.
I actually checked it out recently too.
Or you can check out my blog transcripts on there too, at theanderhughes.com. Anyways, let's move on to SmackDown. So Alberto Del Rio continues a winning streak and also a beatdown streak by basically pwnsaucing Sin Cara.
Pwnsaucing? Is that a technical term?
Pwnsaucing is what I do to all the nubs on Modern Warfare 3 when I don't suck.
So Sin Cara got his first loss, first one-on-one loss, which is actually pretty nice that he lost. I really feel you have to have these people lose. You can't have them. He had a year-long win streak. Other than the Money in the Bank ladder match, you know, he had won constantly, which mm-hmm. is, I've always said, it's really boring. That's why Ryback isn't fun. That was the problem that was going on with Brodus Clay. And, you know, same thing with this. I am very happy that he did lose. And it actually, I think that they might have done a little bit of a disservice because I think these two could have had a pretty good match on a pay-per-view. And I actually hope that they still do. I think that'd be a smart thing for them to do.
Yeah, and this, I think, will lead up to it. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see somewhere down the line Sin Cara do something to Del Rio because it's set up now by a couple of the squash matches, basically beat him up. I think eventually we'll see something. Oh, when was the last time Ray was on TV, by the way?
It's been a long time.
Okay, so that's something I also learned today. Because if you remember, Cena won the title from Ray and Cena wrestled for the title. And I think that was the last time we saw Rey Mysterio, so it's been a year, I think.
I do apologize for this. I have to correct myself. He did lose a match, it looks like, to Dolph Ziggler, November 15th, 2011. So I do have to apologize. It does look like he has lost a match, and he actually lost one to Christian too, June 28th, 2011. So he had lost a couple of matches, but for the most part, few and far between. And that's the biggest thing that the fact that I didn't even know that, you know, that I had to go.
I didn't know that either.
And triple check my sources just to make sure. The fact that he, you know, that didn't come out, and I wasn't like, oh yeah, he definitely lost this match. So that says something. I'm glad he lost though, and I really hope that these two have a feud the next, you know, pay per view or two.
Oh, I feel it coming on. So Sheamus actually goes over against Chris Jericho. You know, not surprising since Sheamus is a champion, but you would have thought it would have been a non-title and Jericho would have gone over. So what's this a sign of, Aaron? Sheamus is going to drop the title.
Do you really think that he's going to drop it?
He needs to.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's been a pretty boring champion and, you know.
Not a memorable one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem.
And then the rest of SmackDown was really just Money in the Bank ladder. You know, it was the Money in the Bank matches, people going up against each other, like Dolph Ziggler going up against, you know, like Tyson Kidd and whatnot. So we had those types of matches. I hate to say it, but I'm actually more excited for the SmackDown, you know, ladder match than the Raw one, even though the Raw one, theoretically, all four people could win. The SmackDown one, there's really two, three people that can legitimately win that, which is Dolph Ziggler, Christian, Rhodes, maybe Tensai, maybe.
No, not Tensai.
And I don't think that he will, because they're so low on him now. But for the most part, that's, you know, kind of what we're looking at. So it's really Rhodes, Christian, or Ziggler, when my pick, of course, is for Ziggler.
Yeah, that's true. I'd have to agree. I think Ziggler's going to win it, but I don't think he's going to win it until the 1,000th Raw.
Really? You think he's going to wait to cash in, huh?
I think CM Punk's going to have to wrestle after he retains, and he's going to get a beat down of his life.
But Ziggler can only win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you wouldn't want to do it then, because it can't be then. But you never know, dude. Maybe they'll say, like, hey, you can cash in on either one now.
Well, no, because what's going to happen is, because they said specifically it is for the World Heavyweight title. But since Sheamus, you know, is on both Raw and SmackDown, since apparently there's no brands anymore, it could happen. I actually think that if he wins, he'll cash in at Money in the Bank. And I think that'd be a smart thing to do, but...
Mm-hmm. Or you can wait until WrestleMania. You never know.
So yeah, let's move on to our sponsor.
All right, HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. They offer unlimited disk space and limited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code off the mark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Off the Mark Section 86 page. Just click on shows and go down to Off the Mark, or just click on the post. And you're going to see a little ad under there. It could be a couple of things. It could be 50% off something. It could be $10, save $10 off any order of $70 or more. Just go ahead and click that link and buy some WWE merchandise from WWEshop.com. We got to talk about Destination X now, Aaron. So Samoa Joe actually is now the Bound for Glory point leader because he didn't make Kurt Angle tap, but he made him pass out.
Yeah. And so he got 10 points for that. And I'm telling you right now, I said this before, the Bound for Glory series last year, I thought it was a good idea. It just was poorly executed. This year, I still think it's a good idea. And they're actually doing a very good job with it. I'm very happy with it. You know, they had this match on there and it was a great match. They had the AJ Styles Christopher Daniels match on there, but I was really kind of confused because that match was on there, but it didn't count towards the standings. So that was weird. But nonetheless, though, great match. I'm glad Joe went over. I'm glad Joe is the point leader. And I really feel in this era of TNA right now that, you know, without Vince Russo, they are doing a lot better. And I implore you. If you are not currently watching TNA because you have DirecTV or otherwise, you need to start watching it because it's getting so much better. It's like watching WCW and then hearing about what WWE was doing, you know, back in the late 90s.
Yep.
And you hear about this Stone Cold guy. It's kind of like that right now. So I got to tell you, I'm very happy with TNA and very happy with what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, every week something cool happens, and it's not like a shock. It's like that storyline finally hit that iceberg, hit the top. You know, it's really great. So so we got to talk about AJ Styles. He actually last man standing. He beat Christopher Daniels. That's probably why, dude. That's probably why it didn't count, because they don't have any points for last man standing.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to say.
I was thinking about that too.
We should tweet Jeremy Borash and ask him.
Yeah, we should. You know, the one thing is, I kind of wish Christopher Daniels would have won this. I think it would have helped out because the storyline's not over. And so I think Daniel should have gotten a win here. And you could have done it in such a way if you had Kaz interfere with him, which he did interfere. But if you had him really interfere, beat the crap out of AJ, then he would have got a sympathetic loss. And that's pretty important. But this match also, solid match, very good match. I mean, you know, those two matches right there, amazing. Then you also had the Ultimate X match, which was really good.
Which
and Andy... Who's the new champion?
Well, Zema Ion is. And here's my thing about that. I don't think he was supposed to win. I'm dead set. I think Sanjay Dutt was going to win because of what happened. Dutt actually, during a move, actually his shoulder popped out of place and he was in a lot of pain and went to the back to get it popped in. All of a sudden he comes back, says something to Zema. They both all of a sudden decide, hey, let's go all the way to the very, very top. Something just tells me that that was a planned spot, but it was planned differently because then Dutt falls. You could tell his shoulder popped back out of place and he ran to the back because that's very – I've never had that happen, but I've heard people tell me it's like the worst pain you could ever have. So anyways, we got to talk about the fact that Zema won. Very happy for him. Great match. Just hands down a great match. And speaking of great matches –
yeah.
What happened next? Austin Aries, Bobby Rhodes. I mean, just
Bobby Roode.
Rhodes, Roode, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's not the champion anymore because Austin Aries beat him with the brainbuster. 1, 2, 3. Not even a kick out after the three. So I got to give Bobby some credit on that one. Great match. Mm-hmm.
It was a very good match, I thought. I was very, very pleased with it. I got to say, I did not think Aries was going to win at all.
No, but like you think, I kept thinking about it. It's Destination X. The first time they make a new rule where you could drop the title and go for the heavyweight championship. The first time you do it, bam, there you go. You can say just like Austin Aries did back in 2012. He gave up the title so he can give a shot to beat, you know, Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I thought that they were just gonna have him not even get the title, because I thought it would be one of those ways he drops the X division title and that way it doesn't look weird, I didn't think that he was gonna be the world champion. And I mean, the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, well, they could. I'm very happy with this, and I would compare this, it wasn't the exact same. And to a lesser extent, I would say it was similar to the excitement around Punk over Cena last year at Money in the Bank.
Very similar, but not the same. The thing with CM Punk, every second and every match there, and it was intense. It was very intense, and you could tell by the crowd that it was so intense. And, of course, Cena comes out to booze. And then everyone waits for CM Punk to come out. And it was just one of those things that, even looking back now, you're like, wow, that is something that's going to be, everyone's going to talk about for years to come. And the thing is, I don't think they realize it yet, but watching it again, over a year later, it's amazing. I mean, like I almost wish someone would put a compilation of the CM Punk events. And to a certain extent, also what happened with Austin Aries so far, because since he's been in the company, they wanted him as a heel, and he became a tweener to the face. He became a Stone Cold. I mean, basically, where he could go out there and beat a face up, and they'd still cheer for him.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the face, of course, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's Sting, they're going to boo, but.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, you're absolutely right. 100%. And Aries, I think, has done a phenomenal job, and he proved the critics wrong. And it's so funny because he was complaining that he was not in Tough Enough. He
oh, was yeah. complaining. And the thing is, he changed his look. He became, I think, a little bit more defined, like body wise. And I think he improved his skills in the ring. And I think that's what helped because they said he was too small.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I think that even if he would have been Tough Enough, he would have got eliminated because he's small. I mean, look at the guy who won. The guy who won was super tall, Andy Levine. He was tall. That's the only thing he had going for him.
Yeah.
It's like if I walked into the WWE right now and I'm 6'8 and I'm just a little bit built and just a little bit athletic, they'd probably put the strap on me within 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the problem with WWE.
Big show.
And that's why TNA right now is super exciting. And, you know, I got to say it's unfortunate because this week's Impact was not as good as it could have been. You know, I'm not saying it was bad by any means, but, you know, it started off. They focused on the Bound for Glory series matches, which, like I said before, these are pay-per-view quality matches. So you had Angle take on Anderson, which was the main event of the night.
Yeah.
You know? And Angle went over. It was a great match, back and forth. You didn't know who was going to win. Good match, though. Pay-per-view quality. Pay-per-view quality.
But see, the one thing they said, and this I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be a draw. Because they said with a 20-minute time limit,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, they're going to make this a draw. It has enough time to be a draw. They're going to make a draw, yeah. But they didn't. Angle went over clean. I got to, you know, I got to give him credit on that. By the way, was the TV title defended?
Oh, no, it was not, Andy.
He was there, though. I saw him.
And then RVD took on Samoa Joe, and RVD won. And the thing that's cool about this, the thing I like about this, is that even though Samoa Joe is the point leader and you think he's this unstoppable force, you know, he still lost. And I think that's a really big deal. I honestly do, because having him lose is a smart thing, because it's not saying that, oh, well, guess what? He's a normal person. He lost to James Storm and he lost to RVD. So it says that he can lose, but he can also win. So you don't mm-hmm. know who's going to win what match. And that's what makes this actually exciting. So I have to give TNA nothing but props. And it's not like I'm not like, oh, WWE sucks, TNA is the greatest. I'm calling it like I see it. Right now, TNA is the stuff that's going on. This is what you need to be watching, because WWE is suffering and TNA is definitely rising up.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it. That's actually the best thing you could have said. That's it. Mm-hmm. The worst thing you could have said is that AJ Styles doesn't know how to pull out, and he apparently got Claire pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And Claire even said that AJ is the father.
Okay.
So there's going to be some sort of swerve here. You know, apparently they're going to go with this soap opera angle. I was hoping that this was going to be done at the pay-per-view because I didn't want to talk about it anymore. But all this extra stuff going on, so we have to mention it. You know? I have to mention it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Why are they doing this storyline? No one knows and no one cares. So Hogan and Sting end up getting jumped by the Aces and Eights.
That's what I'm going to call them, by the way, because okay. You know, they had the Aces and Eights, Dead Man's Hand. So they jumped Hogan backstage, and then they jumped Sting when he was going to go to the back to help him. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be Garrett Bischoff and Devon Dudley and Gunner and probably Jeff Jarrett, and they're going to be a part of Eric Bischoff's stable, because Bischoff will come back, and then it'll turn out that his son is, you know, made amends with him or some stupid thing like that.
Yeah, something like that. They went fly fishing and everything's okay now. So that was Impact for the week. So Aaron, what is our weekly topic?
So I wanted to talk about something important, which is Money in the Bank is this Sunday. And there are some former Money in the Bank winners who got pushed a little too soon, you know, so to speak. And there are also some former winners who got pushed a little too soon.
I want to bring something up. I got to stop you for a second. Do you think from now on when AJ Styles enters the ring, they're going to start throwing prophylactics into the ring?
So the weekly topic this week, top five wrestlers pushed too soon and the reason why. And this is actually a topic I had created probably about a year ago now. And it's funny because it's actually, I would say, spot on still. And the number five wrestler who was pushed too soon is Sheamus.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I would say he's pretty credible, but when he came in, he became the WWE champion immediately, taking on John Cena, you know, in a tables match. I mean, he won very, very quickly. And it was like, why? Like, this guy is not ready for prime time, but because he was Triple H's buddy, he got a push. And so it's like, well, I don't understand that. Like, he's not ready. He does not deserve to be there. So I'm not saying now he isn't ready. I think that it's perfect timing for him. I think that it's good that he is the world heavyweight champion for now. But back then, he had no business. He is a 2-time WWE champion, by the way, Andy. 2-time.
Oh, my gosh.
2-time. Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. Roddy Piper never held that title once. So just to throw that out there. So my number four, the Great Khali. Great Khali is a former world heavyweight champion, Andy.
So what you're saying is that he's been pushed?
At one point in time.
He was?
At one point in time. At one point in time.
I don't remember that push.
Yes, a lot of people try not to, but they tried to make him a monster, but he's not at all. And it's just, it's a failure. His run as a world heavyweight champion was a failure. Number three, Alberto Del Rio. And I'm not saying that he's not ready for prime time now, but last year he won the Money in the Bank. And because you can't have two winners running around with the briefcases, you have to have one person cash it in immediately, so that way the other person can be focused on. And so Del Rio cashed it in on CM Punk after he beat John Cena, and then he became the WWE champion, and then he lost it, and then he won it back, and then he lost it again. And that was actually really dumb to do. I think that they did themselves a disservice by having him win it that quickly and in that way. I really think that he should have held on to it a little bit more, build up the hatred that he has for CM Punk or Cena, and then cash it in. That's what they should have done, but they didn't. And so they did themselves a disservice. Number two, going over to TNA, Crimson. And now it's better. However, though, and he never held the title. So this is people who were pushed. But they pushed him to be this huge monster. And he had this huge win streak going on. He defeated Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, Matt Morgan. He was defeating people who were made superstars, but he wasn't over himself, and he didn't have anything that made him, you know, over. There was nothing special about Crimson, and so he was definitely my number two. But my number one, and Andy, I don't know if you know who this is or not.
Is it Ryback?
No, because he hasn't done anything that huge yet.
Goldberg?
Jack Swagger,
yes.
Jack Swagger, the man who is jobbing to Tyson Kidd, is a former world heavyweight champion who beat the Big Show.
That's right.
Former world heavyweight champion. The title that was held by Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Jack Swagger. The reason why you cannot, because the other topic that we were thinking about doing was, does the man make the belt or the belt make the man? But I wanted to do this one first, and we'll do that one, you know, maybe even next week. But that's why you cannot just push somebody and expect them to take off. You cannot do that. You have to wait, because obviously with Swagger, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Swagger is the perfect example of somebody who, just because you put the strap on him, does not make him the man. Just because he got a fluke win over Chris Jericho, that does not make him the man. People don't care about somebody who is an okay wrestler, and they don't care about somebody who is crappy on the mic and gets no heat. This is why the WWE right now is actually on the lower end of good wrestling. Right now, I would say that CZW might be a little bit better than
WWE. Whoa.
Of things like this. Because of things like this. So
Ring of Honor is above CZW, dude.
I know it is. I'm saying Ring of Honor is definitely above WWE. So is TNA right now. And so that's my list of top five wrestlers who were pushed a little too soon.
I'll have to agree with you on those, actually. I think Ryback's being pushed too soon, too. But, you know, whatever.
Well, time will tell with him.
Yes, it will. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.